meeting will please come to order. Welcome to the Planning Commission. Today is Thursday, April 16th, year 2015. The time is approximately 7:05 p.m. And our first order of business is public comment. I have people who have signed up for public comment when there's also public hearing also. So I guess my question is, public comment, you can talk about anything you want. Hearing, public hearing, we talked just about the Rose Gate project. So my guess is, question is, Mrs. Myers, are you public comment or?
I guess we'd be public hearing, I'm sorry.
Public hearing. The rest who have signed up, are you public comment or public hearing? 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 Okay, fine. We have an all of three. So we will start with, we will dispense with public comment. We will close that part of the meeting. And we will open up for public hearing. We would ask that everybody be courteous of your friends and your neighbors and limit your comments just to 3 minutes. At the end, 3 minutes, they'll start making faces at you and you'll know it's time for you to sit down again and that. So, Donna Myers, you are first.
My name is Donna Myers. I live at 3807 Sage Vista Lane. I was here in March when the Rose Gate was the first time I had really heard much about it. I met with Doug briefly afterwards, and he asked me to send him a letter, which I did. I unfortunately haven't heard from him, but I'd like to just share with you the thoughts that I had shared with him. As we discussed, the congregate living is a new concept and not clearly understood or defined. I can see the need for this kind of facility with an aging population. As a former ombudsman for long-term care facilities, I am aware of the regulations for assisted living and skilled nursing facilities. I do not believe, however, that the congregate living housing has any guidelines. Is that correct? My questions I have would be, how do you differ from a 55-plus housing community? Will you provide services such as meals in their own rooms or in a cafeteria? I know you said there will be a cafe on site. If a person doesn't feel well, is room service provided? And I think the key question I asked him is, will there be a staff member on site at all times? I know we discussed that community services will be available to them just like any citizen can receive in their own home. Will any services be included in their rent besides their housing? It seems that most of the concern about this project is not about what you are doing or how it looks, but if it fits zoning codes. Without any guidelines or regulations, I can see how that is a dilemma. I think the answers to the above questions would definitely help me understand if this is just a 55-plus community or something similar to an assisted living facility. And then I look towards his response. I know that the state will have no oversight because they're not licensed with the state as a facility. I have nothing to lose or gain by whether this goes in. Because I live way up here, maybe secondary or tertiary kind of things that would impact me. But I think mostly I was interested because having worked as a former ombudsman working in facilities and knowing the state regulations, that I'm concerned that we maintain the integrity of what the aging population is expecting when we say something like an assisted living facility. And that's not to imply that Doug or anybody else would falsify what they're doing. It's just that I think if you're going to get into the business of assisted living, it ought to be an assisted living. And without any of those answers, as particularly, like I said, someone being on staff 24/7, which is a major regulation we looked for, I don't know how you can call it an assisted living. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Elizabeth Follett, please.
I am Elizabeth Follett, and I live back to back of the empty lot, which perhaps will not be empty anymore, 4636 West, 9980 North. I have a lot of, shall I say, complaints, that would be honest. 17 years ago, we moved here, attracted largely by the view. And the quietness of the neighborhood. Probably this assisted living center, if that's what we want to call it, will be rather quiet. I am concerned that there is the assisted, the Charleston, then there's the Alzheimer place right around the corner, and now this Rosegate place. Do we really want to be known as an assisted living city? That's kind of what it sounds like at this point in time. What about things like congestion with the cars, if they're able to drive? People going back and forth across the street. They would have to go clear down to the corner to get across, or way up the other side to get across. What about things like water, electricity, garbage, pollution with all those cars, if indeed they have cars, which they may not, I understand that. The utilities, electricity, garbage, that kind of thing. Another thing is, what about a high fence between all of our... There's a whole row of houses that back up to this lot. What about high fences? Will there be trees? Will there be bushes? Will the people be so tall, because three stories is pretty tall, to look right into our open windows? We have a very big window. We're not the only ones with that kind of thing. What's it going to be like? I wasn't able to get a very good look at your website, but it looked to me like they were large rectangle boxes. Is there a plan for some kind of design other than just... I don't know. I have mixed feelings about a lot of this. And the three stories up, that's a long way. Don't we have an ordinance that people can only have two levels? Even the homes, everything, two levels. What about other cities? They don't seem to have three levels. And we're going to have three levels to accommodate somebody who wants to come in. I appreciate your time and consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jones.
My name is Cato Jones. I live at 9973 North, 4680 West. I have two basic areas of concern. The number first concern is height. When this development was originally proposed last year, the developers were asking for five stories at one time. And I think they knew that would be ridiculous because of the impact of the neighbors immediately behind, as well as the main entry into the city coming from the west. To my knowledge, there are no public buildings in either Alpine or Highland or Cedar Hills that exceeds two stories in height. The Charleston across the street from this development is two stories. The Alzheimer's Clinic out on our home out on North County Boulevard is two stories. I don't think people have an objection to the use, the proposed use of this development, but I think there is a very reasonable objection to the height. Why should the developer in this case be granted to have the tallest building in a tri-city area? I think it's an imposition to the people who live back-to-back to it, for sure. As far as privacy, as far as blocking view, and other issues, traffic issues with the increased density of three stories. The second issue that I would be concerned with would be the buffering. I couldn't tell from the drawings, at least on my computer, what buffering is proposed to the houses immediately to the south of the development. Is there a 7-foot block or stone fence or taller? Are there multiple trees planted on the development side of the fence that would give some kind of relief as far as visual effect to the homeowners? But I think the main issue by far is the height of the building. I don't think there should be anything granted in excess of two stories. If the developer wants to come in with a two-story plan for this development that looks nice and is well landscaped, amen, so be it. But I think that the request for three stories, it was like asking for five and they said, oh, we'll do you a favor and give you three. We'll bring it down to three. and I think three is still unreasonable compared to what exists in Highland, Alpine, and Cedar Hills. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who wants to make a comment? If not, we'll close the public hearing part. And we'll move on to scheduled items. First, we need to recognize voting member Jeff Dodge this time. And we'll move on to item number 4 in our agenda, which is review and recommendation on the preliminary plans of Rose Gate at Cedar Hills, located at approximately 4600 West and Cedar Hills Drive in the SC1 commercial zone.
Just real quick, the packet that the plans that you have before you, Corey was generous enough to bring us a new plan. David and I met with Corey last week to go over some of the engineering issues we had with their previous plan, which were not many, but they changed some of them, and some of them still need a little bit of work as I was browsing through that real fast. But I'll go over that real quick. Let me just give some background on the projects, not only for the Planning Commission, but for the audience as well. The total project area here is 11.4 acres. It's located at approximately 4600 West and Cedar Hills Drive. The subject property is located within the mixed-use office retail subzone that contains about 8.3 acres, and the neighborhood retail subzone, which is supposed to be the more intense retail subzone, and that contains about 3.1 acres. The proposal, as stands, includes two buildings, a congregate care facility located entirely in the mixed-use office retail subzone, and a retail pad located in the neighborhood retail subzone. The congregate care facility is primarily residential in nature, and the subzone states that residential uses are permitted within this area. So just keep in mind that. And although congregate care is not listed in the design guidelines, that's found in section 3.2 of the commercial design guidelines, the City Council did make a finding of fact on December 2nd, 2014, that a congregate care facility is similar in nature to an assisted living facility and shall be treated as an assisted living facility in the interpretation of the commercial design guidelines. So that's the parameters we're going to be looking at. I had something written about the architecture of the building, but I'm going to skip that and let Corey discuss that later. I know that there's some questions that the Planning Commission has. I'll let you guys have that discussion. With regards to the landscape plan, I'm glad that some of the people we just heard from in the public hearing brought up some of the questions there, and I'll address some of those as well. The landscape plan, I've gone through that with the commercial design guidelines, and they show landscaping along the south edge there, bordering the residential neighborhood there. And our code will require some sort of fence to be placed between the residential properties and the commercial property there. So I haven't seen that identified on the plat, but it will be. That'll be a requirement. And that'll be at least a 6-foot block wall, like you see down there already in some sections. And it will include various landscaping uses of trees, bushes. Hope that resolves that concern there. The lighting plans. I had some questions about the lighting plans, which I brought up with Corey last week. If you look at the photometric plan on the plans, let me see that. One thing that we wanted to make sure was that.
What page are you on?
Sorry, it's E100. It's towards the back. It's one of the last pages that's black and white. It's the second to last that's black and white. We have basically two concerns when it comes to lighting in the commercial area. One is, what is the impact that this lighting will have on any residences next to it? And you can see, according to this photometric plan, you can see that the various grades of light that will be shining in the various areas of the property. And on the area to the south where the residences are, you'll see that there is no measurable light spilling over there. So if there is, we'll need to address that, but there should not be. So we'll need to make sure that there's no residual light coming into the neighborhoods there. One other concern that we had with lighting was lighting areas of pedestrian activity. So you see areas where there could be dumpsters that could be trafficked during the night. We want to see those lit a little bit brighter, and the areas where the residences to the south are affected a little more dimmer. So we'll offset that. So we'll talk about that. Parking. Let's talk about parking. Currently, the old plans, I didn't see a number in this one, but the congregate care shows 294 stalls, 14 handicapped. Retail parking shows 167 stalls. The congregate care currently is parked at slightly, just fractionally, above 1.1 unit, one stall per unit. There's projected 291 units in the building. Total parking is 461, and our commercial design guidelines do emphasize the shared parking, that buildings of this nature should be able to share parking. If you look to the east at the Charleston, you notice they don't have very many on-site parking. They share a lot of their parking with Lexington Heights dental offices, and I think that's worked out well for both those businesses. Parking stalls are 9 feet by 20, as specified in the design guidelines. The drive accesses are 26 feet wide, which is wide enough for fire trucks and public safety vehicles to go through. The sidewalks are shown to be city standard for at minimum 4 feet wide. The parking islands are planted with skyline honey locust trees as per the design guidelines 4.15K. One concern that we did have with the parking and this building layout, and it may not even be a concern, I just want to see we'll just need to make sure that in the final plans that this is addressed, that any intersection will need to have a 60-foot site triangle for a clear view area. So we'll just need to make sure that as we look at the plans as they progress, that we're keeping any site triangles on intersections open and free of obstructions there. As far as the setbacks concerned, the setbacks in the mixed-use office retail development, in the design guidelines, setbacks are only listed when it's adjacent to residential properties. And in this case, it is adjacent to a residential property. The setbacks minimum for this area are 30 feet from the property line. Currently, the building sits at about 90-plus feet at its nearest point adjacent to a residence. To give you some perspective there, Walmart to the north, it's, as I measured it, about 60 feet from a residence, so it's a little bit further away from, quite a bit further away than the Walmart. The building height, the design guidelines state that the building may be erected to a maximum height of 30 feet, and an additional height bonus of 1 foot per additional 2 feet increase from the required setback may be granted up to a maximum height of 50 feet occupied space. And I was just looking at it with a ruler, but it looks like your front elevation is about 37 feet.
35 to the mid-range.
30. What about to the top?
The very top is probably about 37.
37. But the height is actually measured, as Corey said, to the mid-range, so you'd be at about 35 feet. The side elevation to the south, the one that's nearest to the residence, actually I looked at it, and it looks like it's about 34.
I didn't hear that.
Is the side that's adjacent to the residence, is that a foot smaller? Maybe I was just using a bad ruler. Anyway, it's 35, 34 feet. It's somewhere in that ballpark. The building size in the commercial design guidelines address the size of a building. To give you some perspective, the Walmart is 135,000 square feet, roughly. It traverses two zones. It traverses these same two zones that this building property is in. So it's 135,000 square feet. This building, the footprint is 118,000 square feet. So it's roughly in the same ballpark as the Walmart there. And the city council can make modifications to the placement of this building based on they can make modifications to minimize the impact on the residences based on the placement, the traffic, the noise, the lighting. So these are things that we'll discuss with both this body and with the city council when the time's right. The noise study, it looked like these buildings are really, really quiet. The noise study shows if you take the really high numbers out and the really low numbers out, you're looking at, looks like about 27 to 64 decibels. It's a really quiet building. So I don't know that the ambient noise that you hear down there will be any louder than what the building will be when it's final. I'm going to let Corey talk about the building facade, but then the engineering review. There's a few things that we needed to go over, but like I said, we need to show a fence adjacent to the residential neighborhoods there on the site plan. The geotech report, we'll need to have that include things, a little more data we'll need to get from that. We'll need to show, have it show percolation rates on the site. We'll need to show soil samples, probably pass through a sieve so we can see that. Recommendations on asphalt thickness for the streets and the parking lots as well, so that those don't deteriorate faster than they should. The storm drain pipes, we had talked about moving them to, they're moved to 8 feet on the plan, but they need to be 18 inches, excuse me. So they're showing at 8 inches. The storm drain pipes?
Okay.
They're showing eight, they need to be 18. Yeah.
Were they shown originally 18?
They're shown originally anywhere from 12 to 15. So they need to be 18 to allow for any blockage for the storm drain water to continue on through.
Minimum 18,
yeah. And then we'll need to see the storm drain calculations as well. And those will come from the city standards, the IDF numbers that we talked about. And I'll get those to you if you don't have them already. One thing that we discussed with Doug and Corey, and I know that they've had internal discussions as well, is the... That is really bright. Oh. Sorry, Jane.
It's too bright. It'll go down. It's okay.
It's right there.
That's okay.
We will want to discuss the traffic pattern. The traffic pattern as it currently sits, if you were to pull in off of Cedar Hills Drive onto that main street and then try to turn into the facility, not the first left, but the second left, you'll see that there's a funny island there. So we'll just need to maybe play with that and see if there's a better solution to the flow of traffic going in and out of the facility there. That's one concern that we had. And then...
Chandler, which? On 4600?
If you're pulling... I'm sorry, not 4600. If you're pulling down Cedar Hills Drive and you pull in on the main street there...
4700.
4700 is what's being called now. That could change. And then you look at your second left into the parking lot. It's kind of screwy as you pull into an island. It's... I don't know how many good ways there are to address that, whether it's even having that access available or shutting it off completely and making people turn in on the first exit or the first entrance. Those are things that we've looked at and they've looked at, and we're just trying to find a solution that works best. So that's still kind of in flux. And then any streetlights that are on site adjacent to roads will need to be according to the commercial design guidelines as well. So, and then one last thing is there is currently a Pleasant Grove irrigation ditch running along the south border along those residences. We'll need to have a verification from Pleasant Grove Irrigation Company showing that that ditch is indeed abandoned. So, I think that's all I have. Are there any questions I can answer, or do you want to have Corey come up?
This is we're preliminary tonight, right?
We're in preliminary, yeah.
And let me just follow up. We have a lot of drawings in front of us. Preliminary meaning?
Preliminary, that's a good question. So there's three phases. You go through the concept phase, which is really they bring in the site plan, and it's really just showing the site itself and the building footprint and giving you an idea of what the project itself is. And then the preliminary plans is when they submit all of their engineering. They submit all their utility plans, their grading plans, their storm drain plans, their everything. It's the meat and potatoes of the approval process. The preliminary process is really, really important to make sure that if there are any real big concerns that you have that you see on the plans right now.
Including the building?
Including the building. So to address those, we'll want to address those tonight. And that's not to say that you can't address them at final, but it's easier to do it tonight than it is in a final approval. So there's an element of vesting in the preliminary approval in both the City Council and Planning Commission. So this still would need to go through a preliminary discussion with the City Council as well.
I'll turn it over to Corey.
Thank you. Corey Shoup, Blue Line Designs, for the 100th time. It's good to be back. I went to the eye doctor today, and you can probably see my eyes are still dilated, so the sun is really good right there. First of all, I would like to thank those that came from the public. As you know, nearly 2 years ago now, almost, when we first introduced our five-story building, we have always been very appreciative of public comment and very open to it. And so we do, while it's not always what we want to hear, we have tried extremely hard to take into consideration the comments of the public, because we're soon to be part of Cedar Hills, and that's how we view it, is we're going to be part of the community. And so we've really tried hard to take note and listen. And I hope to address some of the comments that were made tonight, so that we can help the residents who came tonight with some answers, hopefully. I need to pass these out. I brought a presentation on screen, but I know it's really difficult sometimes on screen to see. So it's the same thing. Oh, thank you. Same thing, just you'll have it up close and you can take notes on it or whatever you want, like we always do. So to begin, I kind of see the discussion going in two parts. I have a presentation that I think will answer most of the questions, and then following the presentation, I'm available, if you would like, to go through, if you've had a chance to go through the actual drawings that were submitted and have comments, I'm hoping to address those tonight as well, so that just like the comments that Chandler gave, I can take any of your comments back. We have 2 weeks or so until our next meeting, and we're hoping to address any remaining comments that are out there. And in Chandler's defense, when we met the other day, we did go back and make changes, but this was the first time he had seen them. They're hot off the press, so I brought them to him as I walked in. He actually came and got them for me. So we have addressed a number of the concerns that Chandler brought up, but maybe not all of them. I need to double check on the 18-inch storm drain. Yeah, so a lot of detail that we probably don't need to get into at the tonight, just because your engineer will review that and we can go through that. So you all know I like to start with a little history, especially when we have a public meeting, so that we can bring kind of everyone up to speed. Nearly 2 years ago, we came to Cedar Hills with a much taller and not more dense, but much taller product. The idea was, by having a five-story building, we could reduce how much site that building is taking up, so that we could allow other uses on that site and have even more open space. But a year ago, June, we heard from the residents numerous times, not five stories, bring it down to three. And as Chandler, maybe he didn't point it out, but in your design guidelines, three stories in this zone is allowable. So we're not asking for anything that's outside of Cedar Hills' current adopted codes or design guidelines. And so we felt like last June, okay, the residents showed up and they told us they did not want five stories. But what that means, if you can imagine a box that's 3 feet tall, or let's say 5 feet, because that's five stories, we'll say 5 feet. When you take that box and you squish it down to 3 feet, it gets fatter. And that's what happened with our building. Just like every other commercial project that comes into the city or any city, we base the building size and functionality on the success that we feel comfortable we can get. Meaning, we wouldn't come in here and propose 800 units if we knew that that was well beyond what the capacity was. Every study that we have done and all of our competitors have done indicate that the number of units that we're proposing is spot on. And so we felt like, okay, we can't do five stories, we're going to do three. Let's squish it down and let's do our very best to accommodate the zone that we're in. So that was last June. And that night at that city council meeting, rather than taking a vote, we could tell that there was some tension. Doug stood and asked that you table it. And we went back to the drawing board. And we actually came back last fall a little bit with our tail between our legs, saying they were uncomfortable with congregate care, even though we understood what it was. And we came back with an application as assisted living. And you'll remember that meeting. We were in compliance. Assisted living is an approved use in this zone. And we were in compliance, but there was a real desire from the Planning Commission and even from the Site Plan Review Committee that the mayor sits on to reconsider congregate care. And we were a little hesitant to do that. We had throughout the summer gone back and aligned ourselves with assisted living partners, and we were ready to go. But we could, again, wanting to work with and be a good neighbor, we went back to the drawing board and said, okay, how does this change our plan, and how do we approach this? Do we dare, or do we just go in as assisted living? We're engaged and ready to go. We have to break that engagement if we're serious, because now that partner needs to go find somewhere else. But on December 2nd, well, a little before that, we asked the city council for, what did you call it, finding a fact, because we were unwilling to move forward as an assisted living, or I should say we were unwilling to move forward as a congregate care if the city was still uncomfortable with what that meant to us. And so we asked for a special finding of fact on December 2nd, and during that meeting was when we explained again what we as congregate care are. We read our definition, we went over it thoroughly. I did not have at the time a list of services. I do tonight. And without that list of services, it was still the desire of the city council that we move forward not as assisted living, but as congregate care, primarily because of the basic understanding, at least how we understood it, that our residents are not bedridden. It's a more active 55 plus, sure, but more active resident, and would be more beneficial to the city of Cedar Hills to have a congregate care facility where people are still active, they still participate in the community, but they have needs. And that's the primary purpose of a congregate care, is it bridges that gap between full bedside. Well, I should be careful with what I'm saying, because we provide that service as well. But when an assisted living comes with services as part of your rent, as Donna mentioned, ours are certainly available, but you're not forced to have all of those services. So on December 2nd, we got the direction from the city council to come back as congregate care and to give it another shot. And we felt comfortable at that point at moving forward, because that was very clear. That finding of fact was laid down, and that's how we've proceeded. We've since come back a couple of times, kept you up to speed. We're now to the point, we even went back and did a site plan review committee again. And we followed, as I promised, we would stay within your box, and we have. And we have followed everything to the T as we see it. And we're here tonight, and really what we're hoping for tonight is that you can feel comfortable giving us another, for the third time, positive recommendation to move forward. And as part of that, it's clear that we meet your codes, that we are in compliance. One of the other things that Doug was interested in, too, is making sure that the Planning Commission understands, and I'll just read this, that that we are in compliance with the provisions of the Fair Housing Act 4-2, USC Section 3607B2C. We are in compliance not only with your codes and regulations, but also with the Fair Housing Act. So we have tried to cross every T and dot every I. So with that, let me jump into a couple of the items that were discussed by the public, and then I'll go into some of the topics that have been discussed over the last year and a half as we've gone through this process, and hopefully be able to clear up some of those questions. Donna mentioned things such as meals, and you'll see the chart that I brought. It's actually, I think, the last page in there. What we did, we went to the Charleston. We went to another one called the Trio that was mentioned in a blog by the city by Daniel. And I think Jenny even may have referred to it once or twice. It's not in Cedar Hills, but it's local. And Congregate Care is right in between those two, and possibly closer to the Trio in some ways, and closer to the Charleston in other ways. And we did a direct comparison between our services. And maybe because we're on that, I'll just jump to it. Oh, well, a lot of good that does us. You can't see it. What it shows, especially after your eyes have been dilated and the sun's behind there, what it shows is this is the Charleston right here, and this is the column. So feel free, even while I'm talking, if you want to get up and go over and read it, I'll read it out loud. But this column here is the Charleston, the research that we found on what's a sampling of what their services are. And right down here in this column is the Trio. And then in this third column, what we've done is put Rosegate, our facility. And we've just gone. If we have the same service, we've checked the box. So you can see very clearly that here are some of what the Charleston provides, and here are what the Trio provides, and here's Rosegate right in that other column. And for those that aren't going to go over and try and read the screen, I will go through those quickly. I don't want to take all your time tonight, but this is important to us. So, okay, so the Charleston provides, and so does Rosegate, 24-hour professional staffing.
Is that on site?
It is.
So they're at the building.
They're at the building.
That question was asked.
Yes. Yes. Assistance with medication, assistance with bathing, assistance with dressing and grooming, bathroom assistance, meals and snacks, escort to activities and meals, housekeeping, laundry and linen services, restaurant-style dining, creative full-time activities / wellness programs, fitness classes and continuing education classes, social / cultural outings and events, scheduled transportation, emergency alert response system, and basic cable services. So that's what we found on the Charleston, and we provide all of the same. There was a question as to whether or not we're substantially the same. We're sixes right there. Then with the Trio, again, 24/7, and I used their terminology. That's why it's a little different. I didn't put the exact same thing. I actually took the terms off of Charleston and off of Trio. So the Trio said staff 24/7, culinary choices, social and recreational programs, housekeeping and maintenance, 24-hour emergency monitoring and response, flexible menu of optional services, scheduled transportation, guest suites for friends and family, an ice cream parlor, several floor plans to choose from, fun, high-energy environment, partnerships with local merchants and providers, on-site occupational and physical therapy, on-site home health services, contact friends and staff throughout the building, which really, I just researched that a little bit. That's a phone system, folks. So, and full-time connection manager on staff, meaning a person that can help any one of their residents with any kind of need they need, a concierge, if you will, of which we also have. So very helpful. I think you guys have been asking for this for a very long time. You can see the comparisons. We provide everything that they do and more. We didn't even list all of the other things that we have available through our services as well. So,
is this cafeteria style? You pick what you want to use?
It is. And it's our hope to even be able to have, if you have your family over, your family could order from it too. So quite literally, rather than being, hey, it's Tuesday, chicken day, march down to the cafeteria, you can order it. So,
I think what he meant is, can you opt out of some of these things or opt into them? You have to opt into them.
There's absolutely. You can opt out.
Associated with some of them.
Yeah, you can opt out of them if you'd like. You bet. Because there will be plenty of people that are 55 plus. They're single now. They've lost a spouse. They sold the home. They have some medication they're not comfortable taking, but they still enjoy cooking, and they'll continue to cook. It is definitely available. So, I think that addressed most of Donna's. One of her questions was, does it fit the zone? Absolutely. That's why the building has the current configuration that it does. Originally, our building overlapped, like Walmart, into two zones. We got the very clear direction—not direction, because we couldn't get a meeting with the city council to give us direction on that. We asked for it, and they denied us the opportunity to have that conversation. So we were left with the only option to do what I said we would do, and that is stay within the box. And that's, the box is a pan shape. So we liked the other configuration. This one's got a lot of positives and does a lot of great things, but the other one had some other positives too. So as far as Elizabeth goes, she first thing mentioned, she's been here for 17 years. And I was just curious, so I asked the smarts. They've owned that property since 1985. So they're as interested in their property and their rights as anybody else in Cedar Hills. And they would like to do something with that ground. And they're not asking for anything above and beyond what the city approved in your guidelines and in your codes. No special favors, nothing of the sort. So, hey, I hope that, not because the smarts have been here longer, it doesn't matter. It really boils down to, is this an acceptable use by your quote, by your code and by your ordinances and by your design guidelines? And it is. Back in, one of the other questions was assisted living that Elizabeth asked. Back on December 2nd, it was found that we are substantially the same as an assisted living. Cars and congestion. I always find this one really difficult because either the argument is we don't want congregate care, but we want a viable, functioning, vibrant commercial area. And I can promise you on the death of me and all of my family members that if this was a commercial center, your congestion is going to be way beyond what these 55 plus are going to generate. And we've shown that in our traffic study as well. So it's a hard nut to crack. People walking, we have provided everything within your code that we need to as far as pathways and beyond. So water, electrical, utilities, all that's addressed. And we're not, again, we're not asking for any special favors on any of that. The fence, I apologize. I thought that was in there. On the very south border, if your house is right there on that southern edge, what we have, if you look at that plan, is by your code, we have a 15-foot buffer. But like Chandler said, the code allows us to be 30 feet. We are almost 100 feet at the furthest point, and 96, I think, at the closest. If you go, John, if you'll look at the very, actually, I can, if you'll look at the very west end, 90, yeah, and the 90. Very east end is 99. So we're three times what your code says we have to be. And we also have the buffer, which has numerous trees, and it has a retaining wall, which is going to be 3 or 4 feet high with a fence on top of it. So there won't be any peering in here. We're three times your requirement away with a fence, so the privacy should not be an issue at all. We've superseded any of your requirements. Chandler, did you have a question?
Yeah, on the first page, the first bill page of the plat, it is showing a fence. Want to make sure that that's being shown on the boundary and topographic survey. So we'll just want to make sure that that's being shown not only on the plat, but also on the general site plan, just in future.
Okay, and so, I made a note from your comments. We'll make sure that it's clear.
Yeah, we'll definitely want it on the site plan, because you're showing the retaining wall like you talked about, so right. We want to see the site plan or the fence.
We'll show a fence on top of that.
And then probably provide a construction detail as well.
Sure. Elizabeth mentioned the high fence, the trees, the bushes, and three stories. Again, three stories is allowed in this zone, so we're not exceeding any of that. Mr. Jones talked about the height. That was very clear that he's not a proponent of three stories. Definitely not a proponent of the five, but we have come down and we have met all of your requirements at three. And then to be a good neighbor again, we shoved it an extra 60 feet back rather than pushing it to the 30-foot right against the property. Some of Chandler's comments. The lighting is updated. We did do that. I kind of chuckled back there because it's probably difficult to see at that teeny tiny scale.
The previous lighting plan showed, on the photometric plan, it showed zeros along the path next to the residence. This time it's showing, it's in some places it's brighter, but mostly it's lower. So we'll just need to make sure that as those bollard, I'm assuming they're bollard lights.
I don't know.
There's some 4.5.
We'll just want to make sure, we'll just want to address that, make sure that they're being addressed or cut off at the property line there.
Perfect.
Yeah, I mean, my expectation is zeros.
That's
like 4.5 on cut off.
That's what it was. That's what it was in the original one.
And this one's showing
some numbers. So we'll want to address that.
Okay, and it may just be a function of you guys have 10 minutes to turn this around.
Okay.
So thank you for catching it, because if it was originally, it just sounds to me like someone was hurrying to try and get red lines done.
So
in back
you. Where it was zero, we'll just need to make sure that that still is the case.
Okay. Parking, again, we base our parking off of our numerous studies, just like the bank. I brought this up before. The bank has 5 drive-throughs because that's what the bank says they require. We have 1 stall per unit because that's what our statistics say. Some of our residents will not have cars. Some of them will have a car. And so we accommodate for that.
I have a question about the parking. Are you planning on assigning parking, or is it first come, first serve?
You know, I'm not sure how that works. I don't believe they have a number system on the existing units, the existing facilities. I think it is basically park first come, first serve. But if a numbering system is something that you all wanted to impose on us, I'm sure we could paint some numbers on there. So
that was just curiosity.
Okay, yeah. Setbacks, again, I've addressed this. We're three times your requirement. Geotech, Chandler, I made a note of that, and I submitted a geo, but I'm not.
There was. It was one page, so we're going to look at for something.
There's a new one.
There is?
Yeah, pages.
I'll need to see that.
Okay.
If you could just send that to me, and I'll send it to this planning commission as well. But we just need to make sure that we're addressing all the things that we're looking for in any geotech report. So
right.
If there's any questions, I'll talk to you about that.
Perfect. I've mentioned the storm drain, minimum 18 inch. I'll pass that on. The funny island. That is a funny island. What we tried to do is tried to line our ingress, egress up with your existing curb cuts. Well, AmSources isn't existing, but it's approved. And so what we did is we asked for their drawings, we lined ours up on it, and then the one that comes directly off the hearts is also lined up, and it does do that little goofy thing. While it is goofy, there's no code violation there, it's just goofy. So, and we actually made it a little wider within the parking area right there, just in case there was an elderly person that was driving through and we wanted to give them a little more room to navigate that. So we've done what we can, but maybe there's a better solution that we can come up with between now and City Council. And finally, the irrigation ditch. There have been discussions with the irrigation. I made a note here on my notes. And the irrigation company is favorable to abandoning that. And the only thing it will take is the city's signature and the property owner's signature, I believe, was the property owner. I remember yours was one of them, and the canal. That's it. So to abandon that, it's not being used. We've had conversations with them. They said, we're favorable to that. All we need is the city's signature, and we're good to go. So we have made headway there.
Can I ask one more question?
You bet.
On your previous plans, you had a storm drain off-site where you took it to 4800 West. That was removed. Is that correct? Do you know what I'm talking about? It took the storm drain collection from the site and then moved it to 4800 West. I'm not seeing those plans anymore, so I'm assuming, because we told you that we want to retain the all storm drain on site.
Right, and I passed that on.
Okay, so I'm not seeing it, so I'm assuming that that's the case then. Is the storm drain
below grade, maybe?
It is.
It needs to be below grade, but those were there beforehand. We'll just need to make sure that all the storm drain calcs are correct.
My note, Chandler, what would you like me to tell him?
What was the page? Just make sure that storm drain is retained on site.
Okay.
So.
I know they did it. I talked to Karen. She's the.
I'm not seeing the page, so I'm assuming they did it. I just wanted to make sure.
Like I say, it was still warm from driving down here from coming out of the printer, so hopefully they printed the right one. That was it for Chandler's. Now I've talked so long, my presentation went to sleep.
Corey, do you want us to wait, have you go through the whole thing? And then...
If you don't mind. No. Yeah, it might go better that way. Hopefully I can address some of them. So, okay, now that we've looked at that, that was not helpful visually, but very helpful to know that we have gone back and done our research.
Corey, right before you get started, on that south property line again, there had been original discussion about removing the power lines that run through there.
That is still in negotiation.
Still in negotiation?
We're very interested in that.
With whom?
With the power company. Okay. It is active. And for that portion, it's $30,000. Pull it out.
Okay.
And I know Doug's interested in doing it, but...
Okay, and then...
We can't just go do it.
How the negotiations were coming, and then there had also been a discussion about deeding 5 feet on that south property line to the property owners. Is that still viable on the table, or is it being pulled?
If you look at this... I'm speaking off record now. If you look at how the drawing's shown, if you look at how the drawing is shown, you look for the 15-foot dimension off of that south property line.
Yeah.
That shows 5 feet of landscaping before the retaining wall that the fence will be put on. So... Doug would really like to do that, whether or not we can. Now, what I need to make clear is we can't take the site and shove it north 5 feet, because then we push out of our property line on the north. So what we tried to do on that south, and whether or not it will truly work, is exactly what we're showing there, and that is taking our retaining wall and pushing it 5 feet into the property, into our property, and allowing the trees to be planted down on that lower level, where you're seeing them planted right now. So
in other words, if you deeded the 5 feet, you would no longer be in compliance along the southern property line in terms of 15 feet of buffer
right
on your property.
right? Because we're giving all the neighbors 5 feet.
Right.
So that's why I say off the record, we're still trying to figure out how to do that. But what we know we can't do is just slide the whole thing north, because then we exceed our property on the north. So, but you can see our efforts are there. We're really trying to make it happen. So, okay, on to the sleeping program here. This is the site plan. It hasn't changed since the last time we came and updated you, with the exception of, take that back, this is an old rendering. On our actual drawings, Chandler, we did go into the landscape plan and remove the trees from the 60-foot triangle sight lines. So you'll see in your packet that those trees have been relocated. So, okay. Any questions on this plan before we move? It's pretty familiar to y'all.
Yeah, we have comments, but I think you want us to move through the whole thing first.
Again, these are difficult to see from way out here. That's why you guys have a printed copy. These are some elevations that I'll go through. This, you'll notice in your plans, and I heard back from staff that you did notice that the cupola on top, this, was removed. That was a last-minute decision by us, again, because I promised. I told Doug, I love it. Planning Commission loves it. But I'm worried if it goes to City Council that they're going to say it's not in compliance for some reason. It is in compliance, but we just took it off in the plans because we worried. We heard again from staff on Tuesday when we came down, that was a bad move. Put it back on. So in this rendering, it's back on. You can see it up there. And quite frankly, while it is to some people insignificant, I really like it, and I think it makes a difference. So you can see it's difficult to see. What we tried to do to play with the elevations, and there's other drawings that show it better. There's even one other one that shows it even better than this one. There it is. We played with color. And again, like I was telling Glenn before the meeting, what you've seen up to date is hand rendering with markers. It's very limited on what colors you can choose to draw with. And the computer's not very different from that. You know, we're showing brick, but exactly what color brick that is, my experience with, now her name's Marissa. Marissa?
Marissa.
Marissa? Marissa. And AmSource, well, she had a real strong opinion on that, and I'm assuming we're going to get some feedback on the actual color of our brick as well and the color of our materials. But for computer rendering purposes, you can see what we've done here. It's the brick. The brick above the porte cochere goes all the way to the top, but then we tried to highlight these gables as they come out. These are brilliant white, and this is an off-white setback just to help that visual separation. It'll help these to stand out even more. I know that there'll be comment on that, and I'm happy to take that back. So I'll just go through these. Again, here's our, and you'll see it better in your packet, but our materials board. It's difficult to see the numbers and everything here, but that's what that slide represents. And again, just looking from the northeast to the southwest, and then one up above. One of the things I like about the porte cochere is this is all glass, so it'll be very light under there. Sometimes when you pull into a hotel or a resort property with a porte cochere, they'll be dark. This will all be glass and lit, so it's very bright. You can see the cupola on top now. You can see the brick goes all the way from bottom to top on that. And I think that's it. What I put this in here for was we've been working with Jeff Mogg on trying to understand what our fees are. I put this in here. We were given the Charleston's building permit application that outlined their fees. We're substantially the same as their facility as far as use as assisted living, so we'll be basing all of our fees off of your new chart. It's just like this. There's a few variations, but we put that in there so that you could see how we're going to basically be in compliance with what you've done in the past. Mike, there's actually three different applications if you're looking at that and wondering. They had one, and they paid some money, and then they did another one, and then they had an addition, and we're just showing the very first one. And then finally, we went over this, and that's just the uses that we provide. So now that we've gone through those, there are a couple of others, and we've already addressed them, but there were a number of items that on blogs or in previous meetings that were brought up that I would just like to address and then move right into the construction documents for any questions there. But the canal, we addressed that. Power lines, we addressed that. Density. As you know, there is no density requirement or limitation on this zone. So what we did is we went and looked at the Charleston. The Charleston sits on 2.05 acres and has 64 units, which puts them in the range of 30 units to the acre. We sit on 8.98, I think is what the portion is here. I could check the plat, but we're over 8, but under 9. And we have 291 units, which puts us at 30 units per acre. So we're both right in that realm, right around 30 units to the acre. So even though our use technically is more intense because it's moving towards the core, if you will, there was a lot of discussion or some discussion on, hey, the density of this project is not appropriate for this area. Well, just here to say we're almost exactly what the Charleston is. So fees, I already brought that up, will be the same as the Charleston, the same categories, I should say, as the Charleston. It will obviously be more. Our facility is larger, and it's a different time than when they built. They built in 05, I think, is when that was. Available services, I already showed the comp sheet, which is here, and parking, we already talked about that. What we tried to do, and we mentioned this in one of our previous meetings, on the shared parking, which Chandler brought up, is we can fully service this facility within the acreage that we have. We felt like that was important. We didn't want to be relying on the neighborhood retail zone to park our project. We wanted to rely on our own zone for our own immediate needs. What we anticipate, however, is that evenings and weekends and Sundays, when we see the highest numbers of visitors, will be when the commercial piece out on the corner is shut down for the day or for the weekend. So we feel like our efforts in coming up with shared parking comply, and we can fully park it within the site. And again, I noted it again here that we are in compliance with the Fair Housing Act. Doug wanted that to be made clear because there were some questions about that, I guess, in the past. Sorry, too much talking. I'm going dry. So with that, that concludes kind of the presentation portion. If we want now to move into the application portion, if you have had a chance to look this over and you have questions on any of the drawings, more so than what Chandler has addressed, let's do that and answer any questions you might have.
Mine are not so much questions as comments, which I'm assuming you want tonight.
Yeah.
Things to take back to your architect and your planners. I want to push them based on our guidelines. It seems to me especially when the landscaping portion was conceived in our guidelines, the idea was they were building a building and we were putting a minimum of 30% of that site landscaped around that building so that the building set in a park-like setting, which that term we use over and over again in the guidelines. What I see here is a chunk of that park-like setting is really inside and surrounded by a building that has long facades, and our guidelines specifically say the facade should be broken up and not blank, and these are not blank facades, but they are long blocks of building, which previous, as you mentioned earlier, previous concepts really started to break that up, and our primary concern, frankly, is along the south
border up against the single-family residential. We have this large donut, and a chunk of that 30% of landscaping that we're supposed to enjoy as a community, and that park-like setting is
interior.
Inside. It's interior. Obviously, you need to be appealing to your residents. It needs to be attractive, so they want to come there, they want to pay, and be a part of that community. I get that. But when the guidelines were written, my impression is that really was so that this building would promote a park-like setting within the Cedar Hills community. And I'm seeing what I would call a little more residual property being managed as landscape. I'm not seeing structures that screen parking and put the building in a park-like setting. I'm seeing an internally focused building with parking on the outside towards the community. So I have concerns about that.
Okay.
Concerns, like I said, about the long facades not being broken up. Ideally, and I know it's not in our guidelines, and it may be something we discuss as we look at our guidelines, but this is a large footprint, and it's all one building. I wish it was multiple buildings. I wish it was broken up some way. And architecturally, there are ways to at least try to help that happen, colors, recesses, those kinds of things, if it has to be one large building. The other comment, it looks like we've lost a lot of masonry on the exterior. We talked about brick switching to stone or switching to a cast stone product, and what I'm looking at here is well over 50% of the facade is stucco and siding. And it looks like a development that would be in most any neighborhood. I've got a brick wainscot on my first story, and then from there on up, pretty much, it's siding and stucco, except at that center element, which is a very, very small part. It doesn't feel like a Cedar Hills building. It doesn't have lots of thick molding that we call for this colonial look, and this is for your architect.
Right.
You know, we need, this has to be a Cedar Hills development, in my opinion, and the architecture, hand-drawn sketches always look more friendly and appealing, and then you get into the hard-line renderings. But frankly, that's where the rubber meets the road, and that's where you discover it ain't working, and we gotta do something different. You'll see some of the other developments that have been submitted to this body have gone, and to City Council, have gone through some pretty major overhauls from an aesthetic standpoint. Even our Walmart or McDonald's. The rest of our commercial development, this does not look like the rest of our commercial development architecturally.
I can appreciate that. It is different in ways from Walmart, but similar. And we did ask for AmSource's bank renderings, and we did try to pass.
Did you get the latest ones?
Yeah, we did. And
because this doesn't look anything like.
Well, it's not a bank.
No, it's not. But you know what I mean architecturally.
Yeah.
You can wrap a colonial skin around almost any use. Residential is one of the easiest. It's where it came from. That's where the whole colonial look came from, is from residential architecture.
Well, and we would be very open
this
to
this. Is
some
not
of your,
at you. This is to your architect.
I'm totally.
They have an opportunity to really step up here, and they're called Think. So I'm asking them to go back and think through this. If we're going to put a three-story development here,
it needs to be more colonial.
It's got to be Cedar Hills.
And in a nutshell, does that mean more brick?
Partly. I mean, again, architecture is more subtle than just throwing brick on it.
Because there was a rendering that we had Tim Boss do a long time ago, and I think your comment was, that's too much brick.
Right.
Everyone said, start giving us more brick, so we did. We put all kinds of brick on it, and then
it was heavy. Three stories of brick.
It was heavy.
And it was, wow, breaking it up, but all we suggested was more masonry.
Yeah.
We did not suggest the addition of these lighter materials that are not, they're not in keeping with putting a development in this community.
Well, maybe we need to have further conversation with you on what some of your architectural insight would be. And
why aren't they here tonight?
The architects?
That would be helpful.
I don't know.
And they're sticking you out in front.
I'm always the guy that gets the bullet. It's easier to haul one dead body off than multiple.
With AmSource, to your point, with AmSource, they were here, and we were able to get into a dialogue with them. And I think
They probably were at the city council meeting, I'm not sure, but there was some major changes made even when they presented to the city council.
I will have them at city council on the 5th.
You may
have them here, yeah.
Before we approve this.
Okay.
Councilman Dodge doesn't need any additional support. I think he stated the position very well, but this architecture now looks like it was designed by committee, and it's very, I called it very vanilla looking. You have had renderings before, just external renderings that I thought looked more luxurious and more appealing and more attractive. I promise not to be outspoken tonight, so I just want to support what he's saying. That
well, and I know that I hope you know that we'll continue to work with this body.
Well, we've
got to
get
this
thing down and get it shovel in the dirt. You know, it's
yeah, no,
we
that's,
can't work this forever.
Right, and it's been hard to make final decisions while we're still flopping it around. So we're
a lot of these
tonight,
things are an attempt to at appeasement, and then some of them were, oh well, we have these zoning issues, and that forced some major changes. But
yeah,
when you I'd like to see you stay with it, go with the design, stay with it, and suck it in and man up to it.
As far as the building configuration?
The project. But at this point, now we're down to dealing with the issues.
Yeah, well,
tiny issues. Whether it's a 6-foot fence on a 4-foot berm or a 10-foot fence.
Right.
I mean, you know, these are, we gave away a lot of amenities as we tried to fit the project into everybody's requirements. We gave a lot of amenities along the south side, frankly, as a result of a lot of community discussion on this. I think that's a shame. The city could benefit from those amenities, and I believe strongly that the residents could. I can transfer myself to that position.
Well, I think, you know, we felt the same way, and that's why we requested another finding of fact so that we could maintain what was there before, because we felt that was the better solution. But
a lot of these questions that have been asked earlier are really marketing issues. You know, I don't care whether you offer gourmet cuisine or spam sandwiches. You wouldn't do that because that's not a good marketing decision. Your check block or checklist is interesting.
Well, the primary
so
purpose
you're
behind
be competitive anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, definitely. But I think the primary purpose behind the checklist or the comparison list was to address comments at city council level of, and Jenny will remember this if you weren't in attendance maybe that night. I don't know. There were some comments that, hey, you call yourself an apartment, you have a dishwasher, you have a washer and dryer, and no one forces you to go to a cafeteria to eat, so you're really an apartment, not an assisted living.
I recall that comment.
Oh, okay. And so that's where we're like, well, they're going to get to the city council level, and they're going to say, yes, this is similar to an assisted living. We told you that on December 2nd, but tonight we feel like you're an apartment, and you have to go away now. And you know, $300,000 later, we get to go back and submit an assisted living application like we did back in June. We should have just stuck with it. And so trying to address that and say, hey, okay, here's some of our services, and here's what they provide, here's what we provide. We are not just a 55-plus apartment, low income, all the things that you've heard for months. We're not going to make your school system swell. We're not going to overwhelm your roads. We're a congregate care facility with active seniors. They're going to be great residents, and this is what we provide, and that's where that list came from. So,
well, some of the adjustments that have been made to comments over the last 2 years have resulted in a disappearance, actually, of the park-like environment. It's gone.
Yeah, I agree.
In order to accommodate the elevation.
We would have absolutely loved to have the finding of fact that we could overlap our zone just like Walmart did. But that was because of emails that were sent out and people told, do not respond to this. We weren't given that opportunity.
Well, I just will be on record as saying we've dumbed this down enough. Let's get it built.
Hear, hear. Craig?
I just wanted to kind of echo that. You know, Jeff was talking about the park-like atmosphere, and I've got the previous plans, and by forcing it into the one zone, I think the quality of it, and I mean, the quality of the exterior of the building, the amount of landscaping on the exterior of the building, by necessity, with this jog that we've had to do to fit the zone, has greatly deteriorated the look of the project. And I realize you guys are doing it because you have to. I just think it's sad that we've got to this point, because just when I put these two side by side, it's pretty sad to see the change that's taken place. So,
Craig, I think that you can punch up the outside yet. I think that it doesn't welcome me into the project. You can't do anything with that long east-west facade. That's going to be really hard to break it up. In fact, if you start breaking it up, it looks like it's cobbled up.
Yeah, but my point is that with the current configuration of the building, it doesn't allow the square footage of landscaping around the exterior.
No, you're absolutely right.
But I don't know how
it's now in parking slots.
Well, no, it's all on the inside, as Jeff pointed out. But how do you fit it in when you're trying to jog the building around the zones?
Subzone, yeah.
The subzones. What we're doing is we're putting an artificial jog in a building for an artificial imposition that, you know, it worked a lot better without that, is my point. I don't know what we do about it. I don't think there's anything we can do at this point. Unless you got any ideas, Jeff.
I don't know. I don't know what we're allowed to do, whether we're allowed to make a recommendation to City Council that they consider allowing this property, similar to Walmart, to cross over that line.
We already did, and that was
shut down.
That was shut down. So there, I don't know where you go from there. As far as the long sight lines with the building we've got, I agree with Jeff on the exterior. It does seem like the exterior. I'm just looking at the previous submittals, and there is just a better look to these previous submittals than this. You know, the stucco percentage went way up, which is, I like the hardy. I think the hardy is a good way to break up masonry. Stucco, I don't know, that's personal, though. We do try and keep it to a minimum. We have, and throughout the commercial zone, we've tried to keep stucco to a minimum. There is some, but it's not too expensive. But to me, I feel like the facade they've got on here does help break up. It's not a straight shot. I mean, it's you know, every, it looks like every, you know, 20 feet or so, that surface is adjusted. Yeah, compared to initially, they get more jogged the more we as the iterations progress, and I think it's even got more texture to it than this one that we recommended for approval. As far as just the adjusting the building front. So the materials, though, like I said, I'd recommend if we lose some of the stucco, and as Jeff pointed out, the fascias on the gables and stuff are just totally vanilla now, whereas before they had a little more you know, there were returns where the gables come down and there was returns and things like that. Just architectural details, that's a kind of a key colonial, is bring down the gables and then you have a return that comes back in, as these drawings show.
And I think it would be very simple.
Yeah, no, it's no big deal.
To have the architect, between now and when we go to City Council, address those and even send them to you prior, just for your own comfort. But we've been willing to work, you know, bend over backwards where we can to make you happy on those things.
Well, we were a bit disappointed when we saw the new renditions of what was proposed.
Understood. And I, like I say, between now and May 5th, I think we can come to a, you know, hey, thanks for the approval. We're going to start working this through so that we can get a shovel in the ground. And we'll come up with your colors. We'll work with you and Marisa, right? And whoever else wants to throw in on it, we'd be more than happy to
continue. When you come to City Council, you need to have the architects with you. You need to have the engineers with you. You need to have Doug with you, too.
Understood.
Not just you alone.
Understood.
They've got to answer some questions that you don't have an answer for. It's not your fault.
Well, what questions can I take back to him? I would be happy to do that, too, so he can come for sure and answer whatever you have.
Well, I'm just disappointed in the exterior.
Okay.
Ask a Chandler, they're looking for an approval recommendation.
They're looking for a recommendation for approval, but that's up to this body. I mean, it can always be tabled and moved to next month.
Yeah, I mean, if I know what you're after. I've been right there many times, lots of communities. But in the past, we've given approval to packages, sent them up to the City Council, and we don't even know what's going in front of City Council because we haven't seen it.
Well, that's why I was saying we'd be happy to keep you in that loop as we move through the next couple of weeks.
I mean, the way we operate, the way I understand we're supposed to operate, we need that package ourselves. We need to be able to review that package and then make a recommendation before it goes up to City Council for them to see. I don't want to make the mistake of sending something in front of our council that we haven't seen.
Right.
We haven't had a chance to go through it. You know, I don't want to approve this. I don't want this in front of City Council because I don't like it.
Well, then we could do something condition upon or whatever. And I guess one of the other caveats in all of this is, does it meet your code and are we in compliance? It may be not satisfactory tonight, but does it meet that? And what can we do contingent upon? You know, you can, I think you can give us a recommendation, a positive recommendation tonight, with the caveat of contingent upon some architectural changes, and list them or leave it open, whatever that might be. We're anxious to move forward, though. You know that. It's been a long time.
And you know
time.
We have never had any desire to
hold us back.
Hold
Thank you,
back.
You. I know, and you guys have been great. And now that we're getting down to brass tacks, it's going to take some more time. That's what I'm saying is it'll take time between when the preliminary is approved. Let's say City Council gives us approval. There's still a period of time between that and final documents. And in order to keep us on track, we would like to continue that so that we can get something going this fall.
I would much rather send a City Council a package which we're happy with, and then we can defend whether a package, even though it does meet specifications, we're not happy with. I'm sorry, but I don't know, you're trying to stay on a schedule, but that's why Doug and the architects and the engineers should have been here tonight.
Well, yeah, and I know that there's a review period, and maybe we would have done well to hear from you before tonight on that, too. Maybe that's our fault. I don't know. We submitted March 19th, and it would have been nice to hear this before 7 o'clock. So I don't know how we address that, but
my concern, and maybe this echoes a little bit what Jeff said, if we approve this contingent on a bunch of factors, I don't see a way that we can pull it back if whatever changes are made before city council don't happen to our satisfaction, and I think that's maybe the concern. There's not really a process to pull it back here. I don't want to open Pandora's box, but maybe you can give us an idea, Corey, of how long it would take to make some of the recommendations, and maybe there's members of this body that would be willing to have a special meeting to get something in place.
Are you going before the council on the 5th?
That was our hope, yes.
I don't know if there's time to do that in 2 weeks.
That was my question to Chandler. Did you catch that?
I did. Let me look at the calendar real fast. It's tight.
Corey, I think one of my concerns would be we want to set you up for success.
Sure.
And so we want to do all we can as a body to help develop the process and make sure that what's before the council is something that we've vetted fully.
Yeah.
And we're just not comfortable, I think.
I totally agree. I'm starting to worry a little bit inside because it's like picking paint colors with your wife.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how many months is this going to go on before I get a head nod from everybody on here? Yes, I'm in Happy Valley now, and I love your brick, but I hate this. And that's what I'm seeing is, oh, my word, I'm going to die here when I tell Doug. They would have approved this, but they didn't like the architecture, and he knows what that means, exactly what I'm saying, which is when you design by committee, it's a rat's nest. And that worries me because we'll never appease everybody.
You put these two drawings side by side, you know, it's a big step back, and that which surprised me because I did page through it, but I was looking more at the grading and stuff like that that's more interesting to me, and so I didn't really focus on it. But you know, when you put them side by side, it is a big step back. Architecturally.
So maybe we could, in a motion, reference back to those other elevations. If those were the ones that you were...
That's possible. That's possible.
An old brick one.
I go back to my earlier comment. Architecture is more subtle than that. If we were just to list some elements, you know, with AmSource, they came in, we did the same thing we're doing right now and asked them to come back with better drawings. Frankly, our city council did a very good job of the same thing, but it was over and done with, I think, in two or three meetings, and we have a very nice looking facility. I don't know where it is.
And did that process take place prior to this meeting?
Yeah, they came back a couple of meetings.
Prior to preliminary?
No, preliminary. They came back to a couple of
this body and this meeting.
But you didn't give them approval?
Right.
No. Okay. We had a couple off-site meetings with them. We took their architects and a couple of interested parties and worked out a lot of the details so that it wasn't just try this iteration, come back, try this iteration. So
back to the previous question from Brad, what's our timing? Can we have a meeting next week?
I don't think you, even if you got approval, because the way the council wants packets now, it's 3 weeks in advance. So it'd have to, as soon as the meeting could be, would be the 19th, you'd be on the second city council meeting. So I don't think that you're looking at missing. Either way, I don't think you're on the 5th. So you're looking at the 19th. But I still think that this body needs to decide what you're comfortable with sending to the council.
Right.
So... And we have, like I said, with AmSource, we did have a sit-down meeting where we went over very specific things like brick color, and that's where you saw the final iteration of the AFCU, where you saw it really kind of transform. So that's an option. If Jeff, if you're the architect, if you're interested in providing some of that feedback, I think we could schedule something with Corey.
So does that mean...
You'd still need... At that point, I think... Depending on what they decide, you'd still need to come back.
Okay.
For May.
No, I get that. But we would hold a special meeting to get us so that we could get on.
That's up to this body.
No, I'm just saying theoretically,
well,
that's what we would need to do.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm willing to do it, but I'm not the architect, but I will be drug into this, you know that. So.
Well, how did you set up those offside meetings before?
Well, we can't have a quorum, so we would need to select just two planning commission members, those who, I guess, feel the most passionate about it. And then we'd meet with the architect, myself,
probably Mr. Bunker and possibly a city council rep, Councilmember Reese, and go over the renderings and find something though where we can, all parties can come to this, the table the next meeting and say, here's something that we came up with. That's how it worked with AFCU, and I thought that the process, it added another meeting, but I thought that the end result looked very nice.
So, I agree.
So what date would look good for the city?
I'm at the city every day.
What date would look good for you?
Well, I can... Yeah, well, let me first say that the way this meeting is going to be most productive is not to use this as a starting point.
Where would we start?
You're going to need some time with your architects to talk about some of the things we talked about tonight. To me, the massing of the building is not there. We have a large ring, and...
So are you suggesting a reconfiguration of the building?
Yeah.
That's dangerous because I don't know of any other way, and
you're trying to get your 300 units or whatever it is on the site, and I get that, and we talked about the fact that we're having to cram it into three stories on a flag.
But you understand, reconfiguring that building, we throw another $300,000 down the pipe.
I don't want you to have to do that. I'm giving you my feedback.
Yeah, because if we reconfigure that, there's not a piece of that engineering that's worth the paper that it's printed on. And so I think reconfiguring the building, unfortunately, we tried that with the city council to get them to give us a finding of fact. They told us, without telling us, to take a hike. We now comply like we promised we would. And it is what it is at this point. And so I think we need to work on the facade. Reconfiguring it is, I don't think, an option.
And I would prefer we went back many iterations, well, several iterations, not many, but several, but that's not an option. I mean, we've gone down this road to this point. I don't see how we...
If it's out of the question, then there are ways architecturally to work with it.
Right, and I think that that's what I'm saying.
It's not working right now.
Right, and I think that, that like you're saying, we start to work on those.
And bringing those ideas to this meeting, this off-site meeting we're talking about, is going to make the meeting a lot
more productive.
Productive than just bringing this.
Yeah.
Because what we're not going to do is, I'm not going to design the building
right,
and then put my design in front of the commission.
You could charge them a consulting fee. Right?
They're going to design it.
Right.
They need to bring the ideas to the table, but we'd be happy to sit down with them. And
so what I'm hearing, what I'm hearing then is, let's come up with a date. I'm going to take the message back to Think and to Doug. They did not like the facade of the building. We need to work on the facade. Let's come up with some more ideas that will make it more colonial. And we have a date that we're going to meet with Jeff and one other person and whoever else, Chandler, Jenny. And we're going to sit down for a couple of hours and we're going to rake through this because we have to go back and redo the facade so that we can get back in front of this body again for a special meeting and get back on track.
Anybody
is that right?
Here? Right.
Okay.
What day is
you're being
going
volunteered?
To be on?
Is this evening during the day? When did we do this last time?
It's just during the day. I mean, it obviously depends on your schedules. Don't plan this around myself. I'm always available. So it's really up to your availability.
Flexible. Either morning or afternoon, middle of the day. We're in Salt Lake, so that would be the hard part.
Yeah,
so either first thing or like 3 o'clock or something. So.
Yeah, either way is fine. I just need some notice so I can schedule it.
Okay. Well, why don't I'll get on the phone with you guys, and then I'll get on the phone with Corey, and we'll find a date. And then, Jenny, if you want to be there, we'll find a time. I'll get on the phone with you and call you.
So this would be a meeting that should include the engineers and the architects.
Okay. Understood.
Broken record, right?
Understood.
Okay. Has to be in order to get this moving along.
Right.
Because when we got this packet, I mean, I looked at it and I thought, well, this would be something. This is government housing, isn't it?
We don't want to gum it up.
Ooh.
It's just like cool. Craig said, it was a real step back. And we want to keep
Well, and that's the thing is, that, like I said, it's we've gotten good stuff. So.
Okay. Well,
can I ask for some clarification? So, are you going to meet with him off outside of this meeting, and then we're going to meet again as a body?
Yes. Yes.
Are we going to meet back about May 7th, maybe?
May 7th?
I don't know. That's a Thursday.
No.
It'll have to be before that in order to hit the deadline for the 19th.
Okay. So next week.
It'll have to be a
maybe.
Special meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have to discuss that when the time comes.
Okay.
Once we have something to present
yes,
to the council.
We're going
to
come back here
okay.
first.
Yeah.
Thank you for being willing to do that. First of all, evenings are precious for everyone. So.
Then I would entertain a motion to table this until our next meeting, whether it's a normal meeting or a special meeting.
What item is this?
Item number four.
I move that we table item number four, review recommendation preliminary plan for Rose Gate at Cedar Hills until our next Planning Commission meeting.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion passes.
We'll get there.
Hang in there, Corey.
We'll get there.
I think I'm supposed to say thank you. No, thank you. That was a total joke. Thank you. And while I didn't walk away with approval, I did walk away with hope still. So, yeah, we have a plan of attack. So thank you. And
I have one question
we'll get it.
For you. That retail unit, is that to be built at the same time that we're building this building?
Depends on who we can get to commit to come in there. It would be most efficient for us to do it that way. We are currently talking to pharmaceuticals and other.
I'm not a. Yeah, I
looked
at it.
Walmart just put in a new building.
Like the congregate yeah, care facility.
Yeah. That will be everyone's hesitation. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Corey.
Glenn, should we announce and schedule a special meeting? Quickly, so that the
we can
meeting
put it on
notice.
Our calendar. We have to
yes,
notice.
Yes, it's calendars. We have to give notice.
So if they're going to be on the 19th, that means we've got to.
24 hours, actually.
For a planning commission.
Public hearing. If we need to do a public hearing, it's 10 days before at least.
Since we've had the public hearing, though, we don't need another one because it's a table.
For this phase, we don't.
Yeah, you might want to
because we've already had the
preliminary,
and we had one last month or 2 months ago too.
So what you're looking at
on that, I'll need to talk with Colleen Mulvey and just look at the state code and make sure that we're in compliance. So
for a special planning meeting, we need that somewhere in the last week of May in order to meet your objective beyond city council on the 19th.
Yeah. We're going to have to accelerate this.
Lipstick on that pig.
If they're trying to meet the 19th, that's
on that pig.
With doing a special meeting, that's tough.
Get ready for the prom. Get ready for the prom.
There are a lot of design features.
You'll have to get your Ouija board out.
Maybe
a
time struggle over. Wishes and wishes.
Okay, so next item on our agenda is
to wake up.
Review and recommendation on the final plans for Lakeview Trail subdivision located at approximately 10100 Canyon Road in an H1 hillside zone.
I want to thank Dan and Mike for being so patient. We met with David Bunker and myself. We met with Dan Wilson and Mike Geddes, the developers on this project, to discuss some of the concerns that we had with regarding the some of the engineering that they had, and we met, I believe that was about a month ago. And going within the submission before you, they've addressed just about all of those, so I commend them for that, so thank you. There are a couple things that we still need to see on these plats. I hope you had the chance to go through them and look at them. But one of the things that needs to be addressed, and this could be done with a simple discussion with Dan and Mike and myself and David, is on areas where you see that there's two areas in specific where I'm talking about. In between lots 3 and 4, there's a trail accessing the Bonneville Shoreline Trail from Lakeview Drive. And then between parcel A and parcel 1, there's an easement there as well. And if you look at the third page on both of those pieces of property, you can see kind of a dashed dotted line traversing that property. What we need to do is we need to come up with a plan, because right now those are drainage swells for the storm drain. There's two issues that staff has with both of those swells, and I think that they're easy to fix. Currently the plan on the details show that there will be native vegetation on the sides, and then the base, the bottom, will be riprap, which is just a rock material allowing for the water to pass through. The code actually will call for either riprap, the rock, on both sides to do erosion control on the storm drain rather than native vegetation. It cannot be native vegetation. So there's that option, or the second option would be to pipe that. So they'll need to come up with some way to get that water from point A to point B without eroding the natural vegetation there. So that's why we would put up the rock barriers there. There's that concern. And then the second concern we have with both of these is how would water enter both of these swells and then go over the sidewalk or under the sidewalk and into the storm drain system. So we'll need to address that. I think they're both minor. It's just getting that storm drain water into the storm drain system. So that's one of the concerns that we have. I think it's a very small thing that we can just figure out real quick.
That's between lots what?
It's lots 3 and 4.
Okay, I see it there.
And then between parcel A, which is the first one as you pull off of Canyon Road, and then parcel 1. Parcel A is the land that's being dedicated to Questar for access to their station that they have on Canyon Road.
Is page 1 of the...
It's mislabeled.
Is it mislabeled?
Yeah.
Page 1 of 17, it seems to be mislabeled. Here's...
Parcel A is pointing to
yes,
lot.
Yes, I just circled that. Parcel A is pointing to lot 1, so I just noticed that needs to change. But parcel A is actually the property to the west of that. That's parcel 1 that
it's
located.
Page 2, it's very clear.
Everywhere else in the it's correct. You're right. That's the first time I've seen that. So, anyway. So the second thing is in between lots 19 and 20, there's a PI line. And where that... There's a bend where it goes through the pipeline or through the property, and then it bends to connect back to the city's main line that's there. We're moving that line. There needs to be some sort of 45 degree angle there, because right now it's showing it like 97 something. So we'll just need to make sure that those pipes can be fitted there. So there may need to be it may need to be straightened out and then turned back to the PI line. Sorry. It's on page for you guys.
6 of 17?
6 of 17.
It's the red
line. You see a bend there. There actually needs to be a portion where it's straight and then it goes back out. So I don't know
just
how
they're. 245.
Just 245s to turn that. So that should be simple as well. One of the other things is. Currently, where Bay Hill Drive terminates, there's a temporary cul-de-sac turnaround there. Where that cul-de-sac is, there's no sidewalk. They're going to be ripping out that asphalt and putting in new sidewalks. So we'll need to see the engineering for that sidewalk, because the city's going to pay to put that in, so there's a complete sidewalk along there. But they'll need to show the geographic points of where the sidewalks are and where it's going to connect onto their property, so they'll need to show that elevation as well.
And that's just at the end of Bay Hill, right?
That's just the Bay Hill on the east side of Bay Hill.
North of their property line.
It's north of their property line. It's the sidewalk that the city is going to be put in, but they need to show the planning for that. So. One thing that I need to see, and it's not really a concern just because of the size of the lots, but I do want to see the buildable areas for each lot. They're showing a square footage for the lot itself, but I want to see a buildable area, what the building footprint, what the square footage there is. So I want to see that on the final when it goes to planning or final when it goes to the city council. And the last of the issues that I have are with the plat itself. If you look at the last page, this is different than the one I had. There's two plats here. we'll just want to make sure that the plats show an address for each lot. And we'll go through and make sure that that address table corresponds with the area, and we'll make any corrections. But they need to, we want to see that them propose an address table for the whole property. Yeah. So that's also very, very small, and I'm not concerned about that. And let's see if there's anything else.
Can I ask one question?
Yes, please.
On the geotechnical study note, it says lots 20 and 21 is the last note. Is that supposed to be lots 21 and 22, or 21 and 22?
Yeah, that is
going to be consistent. So you'll want to.
I think that's. What does it say on the plats? We'll want to make sure that's correct on the plats too. Any reference to geotech studies on the plat will need to be correct. So we'll just need to check.
It's the same thing on the plats.
So we'll just want to make sure that's correct in the final. I think that's just a.
I know the plot numbers have changed a couple times.
Yeah, so I think that's a minor housekeeping detail. But are there any other questions the Planning Commission has?
I was going through this and some of your questions that you responded to in this final engineering response letter, and they had indicated that they had indicated on one of the plots here, or plants here, whatever you call it, the building site. And I'm sitting here, I don't know what one I'm looking at, but it's about the fourth one from the back. That to me looks like it's indicating perhaps at least down on the lower end. You're building sites of your lots, not those off of Bay Hill. Am I correct or incorrect?
Well, that's showing setbacks.
It's showing the building envelope.
Yeah.
And it shows the easements and the setbacks for each lot, which that needs to be on there. The building footprint does not need to be on the plat. I'd like to see the building footprint probably just on the site plan. So I want to see the square footage of what's inside those setbacks.
Okay. The buildable area.
The buildable area.
So you want an area.
Yeah. So just to make sure that we're not missing anything here.
Their software will do that.
It needs to be done before it goes to council.
I'm not concerned about that, so I think that can...
I thought you guys were pretty thorough.
They did. They've done a good job.
You guys did. And third party, and then all the information being presented. I kept turning page after page after page of questions, trying to get to the end of the document.
They
did a pretty good job.
They've been good. So
digging in and a lot of information. So this is a lot easier to go through.
Any motion for final approval or recommendation to the City Council, we just want to make sure that it's still finalization of the storm drain, geotech, and water, and showing of water conveyance. So,
the water
and then
rights.
Just general engineering.
What's that?
We want to make sure that any motion to recommend for final approval to the City Council is subject to engineering, geotech report review, and water conveyance. Now, we've gone through the geotech review a number of times, and I think that one of the things that David still needs to look at is the percolation tests that they ran. So,
what was the last one, the storm?
There's storm drain, but it's really just general engineering. It's just engineering, the geotech report, and then showing of water conveyance.
Oh, the water conveyance, that's right. The
water rights. And we'll need to calculate that. Have we calculated that? I don't believe we have. So a simple letter saying we intend to convey water rights upon obtaining building permits or whenever we'll do. So they don't need to turn the water rights over to the city at final. It'll just be when they start breaking ground and start building.
Any other questions? I would entertain a motion to recommend approval of final phase to City Council.
Okay. I move that we recommend approval for the final plan of Lakeview Trail Subdivision to City Council, contingent on the following, and correct me if I leave anything out, Chandler, showing that storm drain or stormwater drainage between lots 3 and 4, parcel A and lot 1, fixing the PI line as per David's instructions between lots 19 and 20, showing the location of the sidewalk on the east side of the cul-de-sac at the end of Bay Hill, adding the area of the buildable area on each lot, assigning addresses for each lot on the plats, correcting the geotech study note on the drawings, get the lot numbers corrected on those, and then also the engineering and geotech review by the city engineer, and also a letter of water right conveyance. Anything else?
I think I got it.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second the motion.
Any further discussion or questions?
Yes. This is a long time for me to get to this, but is there a lighting plan, a street lighting plan
yeah.
for this development? And I was looking for it. I'd like to know how high they are. Are they shielded? Are
the lighting plans, the street lights will be built to city standards. So the city has a standard that they make the issue for all sites. So they'll be the same as all throughout the current city. If you look on the second page, I can show you where the street lights will be. If you go into Hunter's Court, there's one as you drive into Hunter's Court, and there's one straight in on the entrance, so at the end of the termination of the cul-de-sac. On Lakeview Drive, there's one adjacent to the drainage easement, there's one adjacent to the trail access, and there's one down towards the cul-de-sac.
They're the first item on the legend on that page 2 of 17.
Yeah. So, and that was an issue that we had addressed last time. We had them move some of the streetlights to be probably a little more pedestrian friendly, like lighting the trail. So,
are those decorative lights like lantern style lights, or
no?
They
would just be the same as
shadow lights.
They would just be the same as you see throughout the city, just the standard streetlight.
So there aren't any on the
end of Bay Hill.
End of Bay Hill.
There might be one currently at the end of Bay Hill. So they might not need.
Okay.
I'll have to look at that.
I don't think there is.
Is there one? Hey, Dan? Is there a street light at the end of Bay Hill?
There's a street light at the end of Bay Hill.
Is there?
It's a ways from the end, I think.
Because where the current one is depends on where the next one will go.
It's closer. Yeah, it's farther.
So we'll want to add in a street light on Bay Hill.
Good catch,
yeah.
You want to add that to the motion?
Yes. We'll amend the motion to include a street light at the end of Bay Hill, cul-de-sac.
Second it.
Yeah, second the amendment.
Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor of the motion, signify with aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion passes. One more item on our menu, on our agenda. Item number 6, review of action and amendment to the 2015 Planning Commission meeting schedule.
I don't know how many of you noticed on the way in this morning or this evening, the signs pointing in every which direction in this building. There's two groups downstairs, there's one in the conference room, there's a group here, there's a group there, and so there's a lot going on. Thursday nights have become kind of a log jam here at the building, so what we're proposing is to move the Planning Commission to be third Thursday in
fourth?
Tuesday. It's been a long day. Fourth Tuesday of the month. Yes. You don't want to do it during council?
I can't do council.
Yeah, that's a stretch of resources.
It'd be more efficient if we could do it overnight.
Get a lot done. So we had briefly discussed this last month, so this would be the new schedule.
Entertain a motion for accepting this proposal.
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion passes. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Chairman, I motion that we adjourn tonight's meeting.
Let's get it. I hear a second.
Second.
Favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you all.